right. Thank you for the opportunity to be here to talk about the origin of high carbon stocks in some strongly weathered soils of the tropics. And here is a picture that's from the central Brazil in a region called Cerrados, which is basically a savanna. So this is one example of these soils. All right. Before we start to talk about the research itself, let's do a quickly reminder and make it see what is the difference between carbon concentration and carbon stock. Carbon concentration is a metric to describe carbon in soil, and it's based on mass, so gram of carbon per kilogram of soil or percent of soil mass. Carbon stock is a more complex metric that involves carbon concentration, thickness of the horizon in this case, bulk density, and you have to consider the rock fragment to subtract from your calculation. So you can have soils with the same carbon concentrations, but with the very different carbon stocks. And I brought here an example of two profiles with the same carbon concentration, and they have a very different carbon stock, and because they have very different thickness of the horizon. In terms of assumptions of a horizon formation and carbon accumulation in the epipedium, I brought here two soil profiles. They have the same carbon stock, which is quite high, and they are under the same climate. They are in the same landform, let's say. And because they have quite different carbon concentration, I brought assumption that this one with a very high carbon concentration, it might have some sort of high efficiency of the mineral matrix to protect or gain carbon, whether by physical protection, occlusion within the microaggregates, or by adsorption on mineral surface. While this other one here, it might have some mass movement, such as colluviation or bioturbation, that create this very thick A horizon. The research problem, I have this question, how do some oxysols have high carbon stocks if typically oxysols have rapid carbon turnover times? And I searched one publication that compare oxysols from temperate climates and oxysols from tropical climates, and it's very interesting results here. They show that 35% of soil carbon in temperate oxysols have a carbon turnover time less than 10 years, while in the tropical oxysols, 80% of soil carbon has a turnover of less than 10 years. So why some oxysols are storing so much more carbon than the others? Issues in finding data, because different countries have a different classification system, we have an international system, I try to find which one better has better data available. For instance, in soil taxonomy, these highly weathered soils, carbon rich, they are classified in a subgroup humic, and it must have, of course, oxy horizon, and also 16 or greater kilograms of organic carbon per meter square in the first 100 centimeters of the soil profile. In the world reference base, which is the WRB system, they are called feral soils, and they have the qualifier umbric and the subqualifier profundihumic. Basically, it needs to be a ferric B horizon and umbric epipedium, which is a dark epipedium with color of 3 or less when moist, and less than 50% of base saturation. And it must have 1.4 or more percent organic carbon in the first 100 centimeter of the profile. So soil taxonomy is based on carbon stock, while WRB system is based on carbon concentration. Unfortunately, I did not find many data available about humic oxysols. However, in the WRB system, we have this ICERIC database and some other publications, so I found 40 soil profiles data sets for my assessment. So I end up using the WRB system. So carbon stocks in feral soils within the first 100 centimeters. Let's see the overall feral soils. They have less than 10 kilograms of carbon per meter square in the first 100 centimeters, while the umbric ferrosols, they have nearly twice as much, 19 kilograms of carbon per meter square. These two examples of profiles, they also are from central Brazil, the Cerrado region. What does the studies about the genesis of umbric ferrosols have been done? Basically, two main mechanisms of this carbon-rich epipattern formation. One is a mechanism of carbon protection, and another one is the inherent stability of the organic matter. So this publication concluded that there was some sort of mineral-organic complex, so mineral-organic association protecting carbon, so it's a protection mechanism, and then inherent stability, basically high charcoal content. But here they describe the bioturbation as a process to make this decay horizon, which is pretty interesting. And then protection mechanism again, inherent stability again. Okay, so protection and inherent stability would both lead to high carbon concentration. And I come up here with this research question: can A horizon thickness explain high carbon stocks in umbric ferrosols? So I formulate two competing hypotheses. One is carbon stock in umbric ferrosols is a function of the extent to which the soil matrix is able to protect carbon, which is basically carbon concentration as the dominant variable for the high carbon stocks in the soils. The other hypothesis is carbon stock in umbric ferrosols is a function of the depth to which the soil profile is enriched with carbon, which is basically A horizon thickness as the dominant variable. The data source analytical strategy. I use linear regression with carbon stocks as the dependent variable, while carbon concentration and A horizon thickness as the independent variables. I use 203 ferrosols profiles, and they are from three main data sources. One is ISREC and Embrapa Solos from Brazil, and a PhD thesis. And they encompass several qualifiers, and among these qualifiers, 40 profiles are umbric. The location of these profiles, as expected, is located more in a tropical zone, and can see a high concentration of these dots here, where most of umbric ferrosols are located, or at least has been studied so far. So the linear regression with the carbon stock as the dependent variable show that this is the result. The correlation shows here is in the y-axis we have the carbon stock, and the x-axis we have a carbon concentration. The blue triangle are the umbric ferrosols, and we can see that all these ferrosols are concentrated here between, let's say, 1 and 2.5. They are all clusters here together, and we didn't see much correlation, so we can say that high carbon stocks do not increase as a function of the carbon concentration in umbric ferrosols. So let's look at the linear regression of carbon stock, also in a y-axis, and now in an x-axis we have the thickness of the horizon, and there is a clear correlation between these two variables. And so I conclude that thick A horizon leads to high carbon stock. As here in the stack, we can see a high carbon stock in a very thick A horizon. The same profile has not so much carbon concentration. It's close to, like, let's say 1.6, and still a very high carbon stock. All right, in terms of final considerations, we have found that the high carbon stocks in umbric ferrosols are likely to be a result of transport process such as colluviation or bioturbation or some other process too. Our data do not suggest any particular high ability of mineral matrix to protect organic carbon in umbric ferrosols. We're not saying that they don't occur, but maybe they occur as well in other subqualifiers, such as the garic or the rhodic ferrosols. And the future research trying to understand the carbon turnover in umbilical fuel cells should focus on the dynamic of mass movement. And this is what I'm going to do in next step in my PhD research, is understand the carbon turnover in umbilical fuel cells, potentially compare umbilical fuel cells against rhotic and against garic, and see if the carbon turnover is different and what is controlling this carbon turnover rates or carbon turnover time. And I would like to say thank you for CNPq, which is the agency from Brazil who is funding my PhD, my scholarship there. And this is a nice picture from the Cerrado region of Brazil. Thank you so much for your attention.
Questions? Right. Let me ask you a quick question. What impact do you think plowing or cultivation would have on these results? I mean, in that upper part of the A horizon, I would think within the plow layer would be rather ubiquitous, and then would you see a stark contrast beneath, or what do you think?
Yeah, I would say if we plow the soils, and they have been plowed for a while, especially in this region where they grow a lot of soybean. And if you expose this organic matter, or if you break down the aggregates, you likely have this, you kind of speed up the decomposition of the organic matter within the aggregates. And yeah, but I don't know about like in a much deeper depth.
Yeah.
Right.
Excellent. Any other questions? Okay, very good.
All right, thank you.